Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
The Christian is a praying person. We don't simply pray before we eat our meals or before we go to bed at night. We are to continue steadfastly in prayer. We're to just cultivate a habit of prayer that looks like we're just doing this all day long. It's just part of what we do.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, in a message titled, Living Out Our Faith. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
My daughters are, they very much love each other, and they're always looking to, you know, promote the other one. If my oldest daughter, if my daughters are together, for example, and my oldest daughter is told, how beautiful she is or something like that, my youngest daughter just chimes in, oh yes, isn't she beautiful? She is the most beautiful woman in the world, you know? And she has no problem. She doesn't say, well, how come you didn't say I'm beautiful? I mean, come on, you know? I'm here too. Why don't you give me a compliment? She's very happy to just, you know, lavish that love on her sister. She just loves her sister in that way. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about in honor, giving preference to one another. So, you know, when another one is blessed or another one is honored or another one is maybe exalted or acknowledged or recognized, we don't look at that and go, man, I should have been up there getting the recognition. You know, what's with them? No, we look on and we say, praise the Lord, that is great. That's wonderful that my brother, that my sister is being honored in this way right now. You know, pastors really battle with this stuff. You know, they really battle with the church down the street getting more people coming than their church. And it's hard for pastors to look on at God blessing something else and say, oh, that's wonderful. You know, a lot of times they're in their heart, they're saying, why is that guy getting blessed? You know, if people knew about him what I know about him, they wouldn't be thinking he's so great. You know, I could tell a thing or two about that guy, you know. People ought to be coming over here. Look, this is reality. This happens all the time. This is just the way it is. But it shouldn't be that way. No, we should be able to look on and say, praise the Lord. Thank God for what he's doing. You know, I can tell you a little personal story about that right now. You know, I've been ministering in Britain for a long time now. And you know, God has blessed the ministry that we still are involved in over there. And, you know, it's wonderful. But there's one guy who in just the past few years has gone over to the UK and he's, you know, kind of gotten a platform. And, you know, they invite him to speak at these things where there's thousands of people and he's addressing, you know, all these different groups. And you know, for a moment, I was tempted to get jealous of him. I really was thinking, wait, you know, why does he get to do this stuff? Lord, I've been investing in this for years and they're not calling me to ask me to speak at these things. And this little temptation, you know, was coming at me to get kind of jealous. And thank God, by his grace, I recognized that, wait, this is the enemy, you know? And I was able to just say, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing with this guy. Somebody needs to do it. He's probably doing a better job than I would do anyway. So I'm just going to rejoice and I'm going to praise you for the way that you're using him. And I just pray that, you know, through him, you'll do a great thing. And you're doing things through me. I'm happy with that. And I want to thank you for what you're doing with him. But this is the stuff that we struggle with in real life, isn't it? And God knows this stuff. We can't pretend like it's not there. Oh, Pastor Brian, you felt like that? Boy, you must be a real sinner. I've never felt that way. Now you're lying because you know you have. You know you have. We all feel that way. That's just human nature. It's just the way we are. That's why we need the grace of God. That's why we need the help of the Lord. That's why we need to take these things to heart and just be able to say, Jesus, help me. Help me to have that brotherly love. Help me to have that ability to give preference to others. In verse 11, he says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So what Paul's saying here is that we are to have zeal and passion in our service to the Lord. Man, we're to be fired up. Obviously, we don't want to, you know, do something fake. We all have different personalities. And so, you know, one person's fired up is going to look different than somebody else's. But the point is, we're called to have a zeal for the things of God. And we're called to have a passion. You know, when you're passionate about something, you know, you have an intensity for it. You have a, as the text here says, there's a fervor. You're fervent in spirit. It means you're passionate about this thing. And you know, when somebody's passionate about something, they get, you know, they get expressive. Even the most subdued personalities, when they're, you get them on that thing that they're passionate about, and you start seeing, oh wow, there's something going on here. Even this mellow guy's really intense about this thing. And as we serve the Lord, we are to serve him zealously and passionately. We're not to serve him half-heartedly. We're not to serve him with a, you know, just sort of a lackadaisical kind of a mentality. But we're to be intense. We're to be intentional about seeking God and glorifying God, zealous and passionate in serving the Lord. And then he says in verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Rejoicing in hope. We all come to times in our life when things are difficult, things are challenging, things are dark and discouraging. How do we keep going through those things? We keep going by hope. We have a hope that God is going to come through. And remember, we've talked about this before, the word hope in the New Testament is not like the hope that we so often use in our conversations today. The hope in the New Testament is a certain thing, where hope for us, when we use the word, generally speaking, it's somewhat uncertain, isn't it? We say, well, you know, I hope that works out. Not totally certain it's going to. I hope it does. But the New Testament writers, when they used this particular word, they were talking about something more certain. So we rejoice in hope in the sense that we rejoice in the certainty that God is going to work. God's going to do something. So I can rejoice because the Lord is going to do something in the midst of this struggle, in the midst of this trial, in this dark valley that I'm passing through. I've got this hope, this confidence that God is at work.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation. Patient in tribulation. It's hard to be in tribulation. It's hard to be patient in tribulation. I want out of tribulation as quick as I can. Get out of it. I want out of it. But, you know, sometimes tribulation goes on. It has its course that it's going to run. And we're, you know, sort of wired toward staying away from tribulation, and if we get into it, getting out of it as quick as we possibly can. But there are some times when we just, there's nothing we can do. We just find ourselves in a time of tribulation and we can't really do anything about it. And what are we to do there? We're to be patient in it. Again, as we're reminded, say, for example, by James, that these testings, they're to produce patience in us. Patience is a virtue. Patience is something that God is wanting to cultivate and develop in our lives. And of course, you don't really need patience if everything's going well, if everything's going smoothly. You only need patience when things are difficult. You need patience to keep moving forward despite the difficulty. And of course, in all of these things, we can trust the Lord to assist us, to help us. Paul's not saying, you know, dig down deep into your own resources and be patient. He's saying, trust the Lord. Ask the Lord to strengthen you, to give you the grace, the patience. And then be steadfast in prayer. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. The Christian is a praying person. We don't simply pray before we eat our meals or before we go to bed at night. We are to continue steadfastly in prayer. We're to just cultivate a habit of prayer that looks like we're just doing this all day long, throughout the day, throughout the night, throughout the week. It's just part of what we do. And to get to that place, you know, where we're not thinking in terms of, well, we got to have a particular time set aside. That's good. That's a good thing too. And we ought to do that. But to just know that we can be steadfast in prayer, it's the moment something comes up that we sense prayer is necessary, we just immediately pray. We just go right to prayer. It becomes the natural thing that we do. There was a man who was the successor to Hudson Taylor in the leadership of the China Inland Mission. And when Hudson Taylor passed away and stepped out of that position, originally stepped out of it first, but then passed away. This man who had served with him for many years took over the leadership. His name was D.E. Host was his name. And D.E. Host had this amazing, just conversational relationship with the Lord. And they would talk about being in meetings with him, and just in the midst of a conversation or in the midst of a discussion or in the midst of questioning about, you know, things that needed to happen in the ministry or whatever, he would just automatically go into prayer. He wouldn't say, hey, we need to pray about that right now. Hey, would you bow your heads and pray with me? He would just start praying, just, you know, like God was just another person in the room that he was now going to talk to the Lord about it. And they said that, you know, he would get up and he would walk across the room to pour himself a cup of tea, and he would be praying all the way. And as he's pouring the tea, he would be telling the Lord, now, Lord, you know what we need. And, you know, when I read that, I think, I like that. I love that. I want to be more like that. That's what Paul's talking about. Steadfast in prayer. Prayer is our greatest weapon. You know, I have had so many people come to me over the past, you know, few years even, and share with me, you know, problems and difficulties and things that, you know, they know it. And as they share with me, I realize it. You know, there's nothing that we can humanly do about this, but listen, let's pray. Let's pray, because the Lord can do something, and he's the only one that can do something. But isn't it great to know that he can do something, and he wants to do something, and he's the one who tells us to pray? Why does he tell us to pray? So he can work. And so we can know that it was him who did it. And so we will trust him more in the future. And we will glory in him. We will praise his name because, Lord, thank you that you did that. So this is to just be our It's just to be who we are, men and women who are steadfast in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Given to hospitality. Distributing to the needs of the saints. We're to be taking care of each other. We are to be looking out for each other. And there are people who have needs. And we need to be open to ministering, to help meet people's needs. And again, this is something where we have opportunities, you know, to just express the love of God by reaching out and ministering to people in their time of need. And the primary context here is the body. Paul's talking about, you know, ministering within the body. And he mentions this a few times in his epistles. You know, talks about, be sure to meet urgent needs, he says to Titus. And here, distributing to the needs of the saints. So, you know, we can't meet the needs of all of the people in the county. We can't meet the needs of all the people in the state or the country. The church can't possibly do that. We don't have the resources. But we need to do our best to meet the needs of the people that are part of our family. Now, of course, there's guidelines, and we, you know, people need to make sure they're being responsible, not just freeloading and things like that. You know, Paul talks about the person who won't work. He said, neither shall they eat. Some people think that's very harsh. But the reality is, you know, why should somebody else work and then, you know, pay for somebody who won't work? He didn't say can't work. He said won't work. There are people who can't work because they're, you know, they're incapacitated or whatever. And that's not what he's referring to. He's talking about the person who wants to freeload. He's talking about the person who wants to take advantage. And he warns, you know, to be on the lookout for those people and to not allow that kind of thing to happen, because we want to meet real needs. We want to reach out to the people who truly do have needs. So we are to distribute to the needs of the saints and to be given to hospitality. Showing hospitality. And, you know, I think of it in terms of even, you know, as we gather here, we can be hospitable as we gather here. We can be hospitable to one another by just, you know, reaching out. By looking across the room and maybe seeing somebody that you've never seen before who might appear to be a little bit lonely, or maybe, you know, looking like they could use a friend, or, you know, invite them into your circle of friends or something like that. We can show hospitality in that way. You know, in the early church, they were really big on this whole thing of meeting needs and of being hospitable. Listen to what one of the early church writers said. He said, we are not just to receive the stranger when he comes to us, but actually to inquire after and to look carefully for strangers, to pursue them and search them out everywhere, lest perchance, listen to this, lest perchance somewhere they might sit in the streets or lie without a roof over their heads. And that's compassionate. That was the mentality of the early Christians. They were looking for the stranger. And again, the idea here of the stranger is not, you know, what we might think of, just, you know, some guy hitchhiking down the street and pick him up and take him home and, you know, give him your master bedroom or whatever. You know, he's not talking about that kind of thing. He's talking about people. Well, he's talking, first of all, about people who are believers, but they're strangers in that they're new. In those days, they would, you know, people would be coming into these different towns and these villages and into these communities, and they wouldn't know anybody. They'd be believers. They would come into an established church, and they're saying, you know, reach out to them, show hospitality to them. As a matter of fact, we need to go out into the community and see, is there somebody sitting on the streets alone? Is there somebody that's having to sleep out at night because they don't have a place, or they're not connected with anybody in the family? Again, he's talking primarily about reaching out to those within the family of God. And then he says that we are to bless those who persecute. Bless and do not curse. Now that's not easy. That is not easy to do. And we don't know a whole lot about real intense persecution, do we? Even the mild persecution that we occasionally receive, it's hard to bless those who are persecuting us, isn't it? That's not our natural inclination. But again, this is what the Lord's calling us to, and these are the things that God enables us to do through his grace. To bless those who persecute us, as Jesus said to do. Bless and do not curse. Do not curse. Just, God bless you. Pray for them. Pray that God will touch them. Pray that God will work in their lives. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Again, you see what Paul's doing. He's just calling us to in love, just be sensitive to others. And there's many times when we find ourselves in situations where we don't know how to really minister. I've been in the situations myself. I know many people that I've talked to that have, and perhaps you have as well. What do you do when somebody is just deeply grieving and there you are, and what do you say? And so often we're just at a loss, aren't we? Well, just weep with them. Weep with those who weep. You don't have to say anything. And that's what I tell people quite often. So, don't worry about saying anything. There's not one thing at a time like this. There's nothing you're going to say that's going to change the situation. So just be there with them. If it's a situation where there's weeping, just weep with them. If it's a situation where there's rejoicing, of course, rejoicing is an easier thing to do, as long as we're not jealous or anything like that. So, be of the same mind toward one another. So just having that mind of Christ, and that, again, those family affections, that love. Now, here he says, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Do not be haughty, but associate with the humble. Don't be wise in your own eyes. I read two things today that I thought were very, very good in relation to this word right here. Let me read them to you. Few kinds of pride are worse than snobbery. Snobs are obsessed with questions of status, with the stratification of society into upper and lower classes, or its division into distinctions of tribe and caste, and so with the company they keep. Another writer said, there frequently forms in congregations of believers an aristocratic tendency, everyone striving by means of the Christian brotherhood to associate with those who, by their gifts or fortune, occupy a higher position. This leads to small cliques animated by a proud spirit and having for their result a chilling exclusiveness.
For the month of April, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Out of a Far Country, A Gay Son's Journey to God, A Broken Mother's Search for Hope, written by Christopher and Angela Ewan. This is a riveting and powerful story, and highly recommended, especially if you have friends, family members, or if you're in contact with people who are struggling with or have questions about the homosexual lifestyle. The book Out of a Far Country is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. We encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order the book Out of a Far Country, A Gay Son's Journey to God, A Broken Mother's Search for Hope, written by Christopher and Angela Yuan. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the book, Out of a Far Country, as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support to this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.